In the name of Jesus, the King. If you watched television at all yesterday, the news particularly, or this morning, or perused the newspaper, you know that one answer, however inadequate it might be, to Professor Gehrke's question from yesterday, has anything changed? Is that we as a nation have put our president on trial. The events that have led up to that have been painful, and they've been embarrassing, and they have been debilitating, and it's not going to go away for a while. Even if the headlines leave it alone, it's not going to go away for a while. By divine serendipity, the text for this day, which was just read, is that magnificent Psalm 72, which in its day back in the life of Israel may well have served as a coronation psalm for one or another, or a whole succession of sons of David, which is to say, it speaks also of those who ruled their people. But it speaks of those who ruled with, or would rule, or could rule, or will rule with righteousness, and will judge, will defend the cause of the poor, and give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor. One in whom not just Judah, but all the nations of the earth will be blessed. This is the way a nation should be. This is the kind of ruler God wants for a nation, because it's modeled after God Himself. Now, the deadening reality is that with precious few exceptions, most of those kings at whose coronation this psalm may well have been used, and on whom those kinds of hopes and expectations were placed, probably came up even shorter than has our president. And you have to figure that the people who were singing this psalm, likely as they were singing it, knew that. New years, new kings, same old story, same old stuff. Now, what was special about the kings, however, what was unique, what was at stake about the kings, is that they were important not merely as rulers of their people, as those who held the nation together. They were important also as transitional figures who held together and linked the David whose rule they were continuing and the son, capital S, of David, whose way they were preparing, however aptly or ineptly. The psalm sung at the coronation, at coronation after coronation, in other words, for king after king, was really meant to be sung also with another king in mind, that king who is still to come, that one who alone could fulfill all the kinds of things that God was promising his people in this psalm, and more. And we're not just talking about the gold of Sheba, and we're not just talking about the waving of that grain that sat on top of the hills of Judah like a crown and was caressed by the breeze. We're talking about righteousness as the way a people lived, in mercy, in peace, and deliverance. We're talking about kings and rulers falling down before this one. We're talking about nations, all nations, giving him service. A name which will endure forever. A name above all names. A name all nations will bless. A name in which all nations will be blessed. Here is one who is not only the son, capital S, of David, but the son, capital S, of Abraham, who was called to be the father of the people through whom all the families of the earth will be blessed. What the eyes of the people may have seen was maybe a very human, fallible king, consigned, no matter how well he ruled, to fall short. What the heart of the people yearned for, and what kept their faith alive in the shadow of letdown after letdown, and exile, and the extinction of the whole monarchy, was this promise, this pointer that God gave of the one to whom all hopes point, the one in whom all blessings focus, the one in whom God himself came into our world. And when that one comes, then blessing comes. Blessing for the whole earth, as the psalmist was dreaming of, the whole earth. And not only does blessing come for the whole earth, praise comes from the whole earth. The climax of the psalm, listen, blessed be his glorious name forever. And may his glory fill the whole earth. Amen. You got that right. Amen and amen. Forever. We're not talking time here. The whole earth. We're not talking boundaries and space and politics. That's what God was after in the first place. Picture yourself now, if you would, floating up, if you can, floating up above the earth somewhere, okay? So you're not limited by time, and you're not limited by space. And from up there, kind of like a vantage point of the angels or maybe of God himself, you're able to hear some of that praise that comes from all over the earth for this God. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May his glory fill the whole earth. Amen and amen. And from up there, you can hear that same blessing and praise coming from our brothers and sisters down south of us in South America, in Brazil. And from there to the east, to Africa, in Ghana. In South Africa, and Benin, and from there to the north, to Europe, Germany. And the Czech Republic. Would you believe Russia? And from there to the south and the east to Asia, Korea. And India. In China. Did you hear that praise? You're up there where you can hear this coming from all parts of this world that God made. You heard it. You didn't understand it, but you heard it. And the amen resonates no matter what language we have. Those nations, they're here. And we're among them, and they're among us. And we are united in that one who was promised in that day of doubt and disappointment and letdown and embarrassment, born in a stable in a similar day and nailed to a cross and raised to be Savior of people like us who live in that same kind of day. Blessed be His glorious name, into which we have been baptized forever. May His glory fill the whole earth and this campus and your life.